Hello and welcome. My name is Keenan Newton, Senior Product Marketing Manager with the SharePoint Developer Team. And we're going to talk today a little bit about reimagined SharePoint development. We have a new site that's going to be going live later on today at www.reimaginespdev.com. That's going to have a whole lot of new content on there, from videos to white papers and content. I will have some cool downloadable apps where you can analyze your SharePoint solutions and try to figure out how best to go ahead and migrate your apps. Today is going to be one of many live webcasts that we're going to be doing, and I have next to me my guest, Director of Program Manager for Apps, Rob Lefferts. How you doing? Welcome.
Fine, thanks. How's everyone doing today?
Hopefully very, very well. And well, I guess we're going to go ahead and start, and I got a few questions for you, so we'll go ahead and start talking about apps. And really, there's, you know, a lot of people are kind of wondering, like, what does this mean with full trust solutions? And probably more importantly is, like, why the cloud app model? Why couldn't you just do full trust code, you know, in Office 365?
Great. So there's as with a lot of big sea changes in the environment, there's a couple reasons that were really driving why we did this. And at a high level, I'd say it's about some issues, some problems that we were looking to address with how people have grown and how the usage of full trust code has grown. And the second is about painting the roadmap towards where we're headed in the future. And so for people who are familiar with full trust code, I imagine a lot of folks on the webcast have written a lot of solutions in SharePoint, you're probably familiar with a bunch of the hang-ups you can sometimes run into around the deployment lifecycle, or if you've got a lot of solutions running shared together in a farm, trying to figure out if one of them out of the 100 is a little bit buggy, then it can really have an impact not only on the other solutions, but on the entire farm. And so a better model for isolation around how solutions work with SharePoint and work with each other. And along with that, easing the lifecycle around how new solutions get deployed. That also helps a bunch with the scalability of solutions, because there is a better model for how they're talking to SharePoint and how they get their own resources allocated to them. And then finally, it really helps what we call the 0 to 60 in terms of new developers coming up to speed on how do I build things that work within the SharePoint framework, because you can take much better advantage of a wide range of web development methodologies, MVC, MVVM. If you're familiar with HTML5 and JavaScript, it's really easy to get rolling. And along with that, you can change how you architect your own solutions such that you're not only building logic for SharePoint, but you can put your logic in a shared place that can then show up and light up inside of SharePoint and the whole range of Office clients. And along with that, we wanted to make sure that we took forward some of the great things that we had done in SharePoint 2010, where we really laid the framework for this around the use of CSOM to get to SharePoint capabilities, resources, and services, and bring that forward into the next generation. So that's the model.
Wow. So, you know, you kind of talked a little bit about isolation. And one of the things that, you know, because before I took on this role, I was in Microsoft Consulting Services. And in that role, I remember there were specific engagements where I would sit there for 2 or 3 weeks trying to figure out what was wrong with someone's SharePoint environment. And finding out that it wasn't just one particular custom solution that was actually built. It was actually a combination of them stacked together. So with this app model, does that help mitigate those types of concerns, or will those still be existing with the app model?
Yeah, it really does help mitigate those, because it's much easier to understand and debug which app is using which resources, because they're all interacting with SharePoint via the CSOM, which makes that easier. And then the final thing in terms of roadmap is if you're taking your solutions to the cloud, this is really the architecture that lets us support the capabilities that we need for people extending SharePoint online, as well as working with Office in the cloud.
So another thing is, and I don't know if this is kind of a rumor or misconception, what it is, so I want you to kind of either answer it, yes, it's true, or no, it's completely not true, is can apps really be robust? So I look at my, you know, my Windows Phone device, I look at some of the apps, and some of them are kind of like very, very simple in nature. Like, they don't seem to be really robust. So when I think of like SharePoint and Office and those productivity tools, I mean, they're very, very robust type of solutions. So with apps, can I really do really robust, kind of powerful type of things?
Yeah, well, the answer is absolutely. And robust means a couple things. There's, of course, robust, like it's bulletproof and it'll stay up, and we talked about that earlier. But what we're really talking about here is I can build an application that is enterprise grade, that has a wide range of capabilities, that isn't just a little window showing up my screen, but has a bunch of complicated business logic, stores a bunch of data, and provides a whole bunch of services for users to interact with. And the answer is absolutely. And we've built a bunch of those on our own SharePoint deployments, and I believe that you've actually got a demo ready for us to show us what one of these looks like.
I actually do. So on my laptop here, I have a help desk demo that we have built. And if we go into, go ahead and fire that up. And as you can see here, here's a simple help desk demo where I can see alerts of current alerts I have. I have various types of tickets, and you'll notice that this very smooth type of UI. That I'm able to do kind of this, I guess you could say, Web.2.0 type of experience that I can do without having to do page refreshes, which much like what we can do with SharePoint. And within the tickets, I can go ahead and create a ticket. So we'll go ahead and click Add, and we'll say Broken Coffee Maker. And we'll go ahead and add a ticket category. We'll say it's something around with facilities, and my coffee is cold.
It's a disaster. You can't have that.
You can't have cold coffee. I mean, you can, but it's not good. So we go ahead and save that. And all this data is actually being stored in SQL Azure. And actually, if we take a look at the URL, you can see that this whole app is actually being run in Azure websites. But as you can see, my profile information is actually getting pulled from Windows Azure. So we just went ahead and created the Broken Coffee Maker ticket. But if I go like into settings, you can see it's actually pulling information from my demo environment. Oh, there you are, right there. And I can actually pull in other types of hashtags and set all different properties, things that I went ahead and built into this demo. But one of the cool things that I can do is I can take it a step further. Like before, when I had to, if I wanted to really make an integrated solution that involved Office, that involved SharePoint, I was having to do something along the lines of building like a VSTO add-in, then I was building like a full trust web part solution. And really, my logic, I was pretty much copy and paste. I mean, I may have been able to write one class file, but I was still copy and paste and managing two different locations. But here, with this sample here, I can actually use the same app, the same interface, same deployment model to actually go ahead and put data into Excel. So as you can see here, as my app loads, I can go ahead and select a date range. And this is an app for Office that's embedded right into Excel, but it's using the app back in that same Azure website, all that same logic that I built, so I didn't have to rewrite all that stuff. So I was able to go ahead and reuse that and generate this data into Excel. Go ahead and close that. And another cool thing that that I can do too is I can go into Outlook, and we have some apps that are built in Outlook. Again, it's all going to be using the exact same backend. So there's the help desk I created. There's the tickets status. So if I go ahead and open up this app, you can see that this is the actual ticket that I had just created. If you take a look at the properties of the app, you will see that once again, if you can see this right here, that it's the Azure website where all my logic is actually being driven from. So I wrote it once. I created effectively three different types of views to be able to support my entire solution, and I didn't have to basically rewrite the solution. What would have been in three different locations, two VSTO add-ins and SharePoint. So I think that's really cool.
That is really cool. And the demo that you're showing us now is all hosted in the cloud, which is great. But of course, one of the best things about the cloud app model is that you could host and run all of this on-prem if your organization isn't yet ready to make the jump into the cloud.
Yep. And some of the key things that we integrated with this app is obviously we did Outlook, Excel. But from a SharePoint perspective, we included search and user profile, as you saw the information from user profile. We actually even included our news feeds as well. So you can see here from an earlier ticket that I went ahead and closed, I was actually able to go ahead and push information into the news feed. So I can fully leverage the capabilities of SharePoint, but to do it in a loosely coupled way, as opposed to having to write it as a full trust solution. So let's go ahead and jump in and take a little bit look at the code itself of what we have from a code perspective. So if I jump over to
That's great. It wouldn't be a dev demo if we didn't open up Visual Studio.
Exactly. So first, let's take a look at the how I'm using the user profiles to go ahead and get the names from the profiles themselves. So I can go ahead and I pull back the client context for the client-side object model, and it's super easy to do because if you take a look, there's this wonderful class that gets generated when you create when you create a new Visual Studio project for SharePoint in Visual Studio. So, and it creates this token helper class for you. And you'll go ahead and get the client context. You just pass in what the app URL is going to be. And it goes ahead and deals with all the OAuth stuff underneath the hood, so you don't have to deal with it. You just say, here are a couple parameters, and authentication automatically happens, and all is happy in the world. The one key thing that I want to point out that's a little bit different than writing full trust solutions is the use of this execute query, and where typically you would just make your calls directly and you would say update, but execute query, the thing about the client object model is that you can actually make multiple requests all at one time and then say execute them all at one time to make it more efficient. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and take a look now of how we used search a little bit in here. So let's go ahead and, I'm going to jump over to my JavaScript file over here and see how we use the JavaScript object model to actually pull back some of the taxonomy data. So if I go to 447 here, getting or creating hashtags, so as we solve problems or be able to actually look at a list of the issues that are there, we can actually go ahead and pull that hashtag information. And if we take a look at line 451 right here, that's the method that's going to go ahead and grab that taxonomy session information, and we'll get the keywords back from the store and the term set itself. And then kind of similarly to what we did with the managed client-side object model, except in this case, we're going to call the execute query async, because with the JavaScript object model, everything's done asynchronously. Right. So we have to manage that, but there's all kinds of goodness around with jQuery that could be used and other fun frameworks to go ahead and simplify those calls.
Right.
Then we get go ahead and grab all that fun data back. Well, that's all great and dandy. The real meat of this is actually inside this web server. So we saw how we use the JavaScript object model, but one of the cool things being able to do is actually where we can actually use the these web services from our app itself that can go ahead and do things on our behalf. So if I go to line 515 here, there we go. We can see here's this token helper, and where we're using the token helper class to get the client context. And what we're actually doing here is it's a special service that actually is called for the mail app itself, and where it gets the user profile information for this mail app. So this is actually being used by that mail app that I showed you earlier. This is actually the call that the mail app actually uses to get that user profile information. So I'm getting that from SharePoint and putting that into my app for Outlook. And then lastly, another cool thing is around our news feed. So if I go to line 870, if memory serves, here is our call for our social newsfeed. So remember that newsfeed message that we saw?
That you pushed into the feed?
Yep, and you can see right here, that pretty much looks like the format for the string format. That's actually the data going in there.
Yep.
And once you make this call, go ahead and specify the username of who it's going out to. You basically get, voila. You would get this. So that's actually showing how you can actually use some of these new capabilities that we actually have.
That's great
within the app model.
A couple things to follow up on. We're talking about cloud app model today, and so this is very much about SharePoint and Office talking to the services that we built for our help desk. But I can use that same pattern around CSOM and OAuth if I were building an app that was running on a device, say on a Windows 8 slate or on a phone. That same general pattern works, and the code ends up looking kind of similar, following that same general template. The second thing is, tell us a little bit about where the app is actually running.
So the app is actually running in Windows Azure websites mm-hmm. itself. So it's actually running in a loosely coupled way. So if I go jump back to where am I here? Sites, and I have a quick jump link here to Team Site. So if I actually go into the app itself, as you can see, originally it's an appsdemous.sharepoint.com is where my actual domain is. But you can see it actually goes ahead and flips it. My domain actually changes to where the actual app is being hosted. So it's being hosted on a totally different server. Mm-hmm. It's running a totally different application mm-hmm. process. Effectively, it is truly isolated away from SharePoint. So if I didn't handle an exception here, that would actually crash.
Right.
So for instance, we actually created an app part as well. And with that actual ed part, I can go in and add it just like I would like any other web part.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go in here, I click app part, and I go to my help desk alerts, which is the app part that I wrote, and I insert that. Now, if this was a web part and I forgot to handle an exception, my whole page is going to tank.
Right.
Sometimes SharePoint can kind of recover from saying, hey, you need to remove this web part because you did something horrible and bad.
Right.
But in this case, if this crashed, it would just be this, because effectively this is the client web part hosting the iframe inside of it. So yeah, I would see the error inside the page, but the rest of SharePoint, all the other goodness, is all still working.
Right.
So that's one of the key things that I really kind of appreciate about the app model is, yeah, I can mess up my app, but I don't mess up the rest of SharePoint as well.
Well, worse than if you didn't handle an exception is if you wrote some bad code that consumed a bunch of resources on the server, and that's where you'd be impacting other solutions. In this solution, we were talking against Azure. It turns out because of that loosely coupled architecture, you could run your solution anywhere that you have access to resources for compute and storage. You could even run it on Linux and Apache if you chose to. But there are a bunch of reasons why we think Azure makes an ideal environment, especially for organizations moving to the cloud. It has great support for the scale, isolation, and debugging and monitoring lifecycle characteristics that are important for apps like the ones in the cloud application model. It also has great integration with the tooling that helps you build the app for SharePoint, can help you build and deploy that app into Azure at the same time. And we actually have a number of options around how you want to host your solution that work natively with Azure. So for example, you can choose to do a provider-hosted model where you set up your app sandbox all on your own, or you can choose an option called auto-hosted where we will automatically provision it into a project called Antares, which is the code name for multi-tenant isolated sandbox for running web solutions inside of the Azure framework. And then the last thing about that is that we've actually gotten, maybe we'll even see later on, some solutions inside of the web environment to help development get started using Napa, which is the web-based development environment from the Visual Studio team that just plugs right into your SharePoint site as just another app.
Yep. So speaking of just another app, I actually created a developer site collection ahead of time. So we can jump back to my machine real quick, and we can go to the developer site. And what I have here is I have this little thing here called Build an App. So this is just a site collection, a special site collection called a developer site collection. And I can click on it, and it says that I need to go ahead and download the tools themselves. So I'll wait for the page to refresh, and just have to select my language here. And now it's going to go ahead and add it. So Napa is actually an Office 365 developer tool development environment that I can just go ahead and add into my Office 365 account. So I can go ahead and say continue. And as what's doing right now, it's going ahead and adding the app itself. So now if I go ahead and return to my site, it's going to ask me to trust it. And just like that, it's installing app. And what's really happening is it's not really physically installing anything into SharePoint. What it's really doing is effectively kind of registering it. And you see how quickly that was? Now, with the full trust solution, I might as well go grab a cup of coffee, wait for my app cycle to reboot and all this stuff. And I would never do this during the day, like installing an app. But in this case, because it's loosely coupled, it's isolated, I can go ahead and easily do that. So let's jump into the...
And as a footnote, one of the cool things that the Napa team can do, because it is loosely coupled like that, is they can actually update it and add new features without negatively impacting the SharePoint site that's hosting it, which is the same thing that you can do with your own apps.
Yeah, it is always cool to be able to do that, because I can see new features and new capabilities that are constantly being added. So let's see here. I have a like environment. You can see this looks very similar to the Visual Studio IDE, where I can just go ahead and easily develop apps. I've got line numbers. I have different pages. I can go ahead and run the solution. And the great thing is, as they add new features, this is going to be ever expanding kind of thing. So right now, it just supports SharePoint hosted apps, but it's going to be constantly expanding. And one of the cool things is I just want to highlight real quick. Is I can download this, open up in Visual Studio, so I can just go ahead and take whatever code I've written here, so I can prototype something out, get a look and feel, get my executive leadership saying, yep, this looks great, go build it for me. And I can actually go ahead and download into Visual Studio and have something to start off with. And then the other thing is I can actually share this. So I can take the project and I can actually share it with other folks as well. So something that I want to be able to share maybe within the community, put on my blog, I can very easily do that and be able to share the code there. So
that's super cool.
That is pretty neat, and it's something that they're constantly adding stuff. I mean, every time I go into this, like it feels like every few weeks, there's always something new. It's just ever getting better.
Yeah.
So with that, while we have these types of being able to create apps and all that, is one of the things that's going to be kind of hard is that the app model doesn't do everything that FullTrust Code does yet. Mm-hmm. But we know that we're getting there.
Yeah.
But how do I decide today if I'm going between apps and FullTrust Code? Like, what is the best way?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the first thing to keep in mind, perhaps the most important thing, is we're very proud of the app model and what we did in SharePoint 2013, but we fully understand that it is not yet a full superset of everything that you can do in FullTrust Code. We want to add more. We want to get there. We're certainly excited about adding new capabilities and expanding the API surface. But there's definitely a role for FullTrust Code that still exists in your organization. And FullTrust Code is not going away. It will continue to run. We will continue to support it. It is definitely part of where we're taking SharePoint. So let's talk a little bit about which one and when and how we think about that inside of 2013. The first thing I'd say is that apps are really a better model for end-user facing solutions. Because of that loosely coupled architecture and because they're easy to insert in a variety of places, throughout multiple sites and multiple pages, that gives you that reliability that we were talking about. And it also makes it really easy to have an interesting, dynamic HTML5 JavaScript-based experience and to connect to a variety of devices like phones and slates like we were talking about. So if you're connecting to line of business data, if you're integrating a third-party service, actually let's pause and talk about that for a moment, because OAuth is really a great model for creating trust between two different services on the web or inside your organization. And if you have that problem, if you're trying to connect to an external service, then really the cloud app model is exactly the right hammer to fix that problem or pound that nail. There's still places for FullTrust Code. So for example, if you're doing a lot of admin work, if you're working on maintenance jobs or tasks that tend to be more IT facing, those are the kinds of things where we definitely recommend sticking with FullTrust Code. So again, apps think about the end user, and FullTrust Code at this point primarily think about maintenance and admin scenarios.
Awesome. So another question that I hear come up a lot is when should I think about moving my FullTrust solution to an app? I mean, is it something that I want to kind of wait for? What can I start doing today to kind of get into that mm-hmm. into that mode of saying, okay, because obviously the architecture from a FullTrust solution is different. FullTrust being, you know, very tightly coupled and apps being very loosely coupled. So when should I think about that? I got, like, you know, say I have a SharePoint 2010 solution today. When should I think about that?
Yeah, so the first thing we'd like to make sure is clear, and we said it before, we'll say it again, FullTrust Code is still there for you and will continue to be there for you. So this is largely about thinking about your needs and your organization. How are you going to manage this spectrum, we'll call it, in between how you manage costs and how you manage risk. So on the cost side, it tends to be cheaper to rebuild your solution all at once rather than doing piecemeal over a number of cycles. And that's just an engineering fact. And so if you have the resources on hand where you're prepared to think about the full rebuild, that can be cheaper. On the risk side, it turns out that if you deploy whole new solutions with a new architecture, that might have a bigger impact on the end users and on your organization. So that's one of the reasons that you might think about, well, let's just take the app one piece at a time and migrate it over. So a couple of things to keep in mind. I talked about the resources. The second is if you are having some of the problems that we talked about earlier, such as you're having issues with stability, performance, reliability on your SharePoint deployment, that can be a good sign that it might be a time to get some of the custom solution code out of your deployment and move it into a more isolated model like we have with the cloud app model. And then the last and maybe one of the most important things is if you know you are moving to the cloud, then that is really a clear indicator that it is time to think very seriously about moving into the cloud app model so that you'll be ready for that roadmap going to the future.
So you talked about like a risk aversion and cost. So I'm assuming then SharePoint's more or less, you can think of it kind of like a, not just as a service, but also as a surface for creating your different types of solutions. And to that point, the case of that help desk app that we had showed, we had like KB articles in that were being stored in List. We had the newsfeed that was being stored in List. We were using the user profile service. So that's where SharePoint was being used as a service. Mm-hmm. But the actual experience of integrating with SharePoint itself was an actual portal, I guess you could say.
Right.
It was like an actual surface. So you can actually be able to bring that user interface and make it feel integrated within the actual environment itself.
Yeah, that's a lot how I like to think about it. Is there's a canvas on which you can paint a user experience using app parts, fully immersive apps, and then there's a bunch of services and capabilities, which is data storage and services you can call via the client-side object model. So I talked a little bit about the Big Bang approach. If you are ready, it can certainly be the simplest way to move into the new world. But if you are, for whatever reason, needing to think about things in a more incremental way and wanting to manage the risk more carefully so that things aren't totally disruptive, you can think about taking modules within your code, for example, taking one part of your app and maybe the list that goes with it and moving that out, or leaving the list data where it is and just moving the UI from that into an app that is running on some kind of sandbox. It could be Azure, it could be a sandbox inside of your organization that's then lighting up SharePoint as a canvas. We're actually generating a white paper on this that is coming soon in the next few weeks. It'll be up on reimaginespdev.com, and that will walk through in great detail a bunch of the considerations to keep in mind here. It'll have a lot of great samples, and in addition, it will talk in specific about how to think about things like social and search and list data and authentication, and that'll be a great resource for folks to pull from. But just by way of an example, in this app, we didn't actually show the KB articles, but we have ticket data showing in SQL, and then there would be other parts of the app that actually live in SharePoint, and because it is, if we haven't said it enough, loosely coupled architecture, those two things can play very nicely with each other, and that gives you the inflection points where you can think about taking pieces of your app and moving them ahead of time to the cloud app model.
That's pretty cool. So another question that comes up a lot is actually one of the questions that we have online. We'll go ahead and take one of those now. Is around access, and this question comes like, how do I migrate my access solution? Now in 2010 we had access services, where basically you used a SharePoint list as kind of your backend store for your data. But what about going forward in 2013? What are our options? Is it still kind of a SharePoint site that I'm effectively creating and access in 2013, or what are the changes and what can we what's out there?
It's actually a great question because as you've seen from the demo, the cloud application model is actually a wave that is spanning across SharePoint and the traditional Office clients as well as the Office web companions. And access has been part of that wave. So if you build an access application in 2013, I actually think of it as the easiest way to get a data track app built that runs inside of the cloud app model. It actually stores its data in SQL Azure, and it hosts the front-end logic on a SharePoint site. If you've got an existing access database, that means that one of the best things you can do is actually open up Access 2013 and think about redeploying that app. There's a tool to help you, you know, import the content from an older database and build a new Access 2013 application that will actually be running directly inside of the cloud application model.
Okay. So another question comes up is with the app model itself, we have the concept of this app web where we kind of store everything associated with the app. So you can still create SharePoint content with an app like lists and libraries and associate that with the app itself just as long as it's purely declarative and no user codes involved. But what if I actually want to be able to work with the host web? How do I do that? Do I need special permissions or certain capabilities turned on within the app itself? Can I manipulate lists and data that's actually hosted in the host web itself? What's the story there? Think of not so much of creating like site templates, but maybe when I create my app, I want to provision specific content to the whole site. I mean, is that possible, for lack of my words?
If you forgive me, I actually didn't quite follow the question.
Okay, no. So from the case of when I deploy an app, mm-hmm. so when I'm install a new app, mm-hmm. can I make affect changes in my host web environment as well? There was event receivers and like uh-huh. Feature receivers.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that we would point you to is that there's a new model around doing remote event receivers that work with the cloud application model, and I think that that's part of the recommended best practices on how you would think about migrating those kinds of applications into the new model. Does that respond
yeah, no,
to your concern?
No, no, no. That I think that the, that explains it perfectly. So,
great.
Yeah, the kind of add to that a little bit. So you think of like event receivers as things in feature receivers that we've had in the past, where we actually execute code in the kind of the server side object model. But on the client side as well, we have this whole concept of remote event receivers, which is where we make that HTTP call as you mentioned. But we also have the concept of an app event receiver, which is basically like the feature receiver that we had before, that when you install, uninstall, upgrade an app, you can actually affect changes. So if you had content that was kind of like if you wanted to manipulate the host web itself, you can actually do that all right from there when you actually install the app, which is pretty cool.
It's
pretty neat stuff.
And entirely consistent with that, again, loosely coupled architecture.
Absolutely. So next question that we have is around workflow, actually. And so the question is that what's the story with SharePoint 2013 workflows? Will my SharePoint 2010 workflows work in 2013? So the answer is yes and no. SharePoint 2013 workflow engine is completely, it's a complete brand new engine, kind of created from the ground up. It's actually using the workflow manager, which is part of the whole Windows Azure story. So there is an on-prem version of it. So if you're on-premise, you're good to go there. But the idea is that your code before, when you had a SharePoint 2010 workflow, actually ran within the SharePoint environment. But like the app model, we've taken the workflow engine, we pulled it out of SharePoint, so it actually would run on a separate server. But unlike in SharePoint 2010 workflows, when you had a custom activity that was actually executing that workflow task that you were on at that time, and that was running within SharePoint, the workflow, the new SharePoint 2013 workflow, those types of activities are actually remote activities. So they actually will call an HTTP service, whether it's in SharePoint, or it could be really any HTTP service out there. It could be, you could pull in weather data. It could be whatever effectively kind of REST endpoint that you want to go ahead and leverage. You can go ahead and leverage that REST endpoint. So what this effectively means is that your workflow is nothing more than just a declarative, bit of code. Basically, it's XML, and that's just being executed by the workflow engine itself. There's no actual code that's actually really physically running there. I mean, you can do some basic if-then type logic, but beyond that, there's no specific use of code. So you're not adding new assembly. So your solution is going to scale very well. I mean, you don't need a whole lot of resources to run, even for large organizations, to run this workflow server, because all the work's actually being done in your different environments, which actually makes a lot of sense. Because if you took a look at the SharePoint help desk app, you notice that it was a WCF service that was actually driving all the data. Well, in that case, if I were to go ahead and leverage this within a workflow, I would just go create a couple new service endpoints within that web solution and go ahead and be able to leverage those
right.
solutions directly. So that's, I personally think that's kind of one of the cool things of the framework in it. It really, really works very, very well. It's incredibly stable, which is great, and we already have a lot of partners in that are already creating different types of apps that interact with the SharePoint 2013 workflow engine and all that greatness. But what that means is, because the architecture is fundamentally different, is that your SharePoint 2010 workflow activities won't work out of the box with 2013, especially if they were custom built. We do have a bridge for using some of the, basically it's kind of like a proxy, I guess you could say, of sorts, that allows you to call into the SharePoint 2010 custom activities. But ideally, you probably want to get them out of running inside the SharePoint environment, and again, make them into a a WCF web project or something along that along those lines. That's a service that is loosely coupled from your SharePoint environment. Again, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, this whole app model is about being able so we can support the cloud, we can support on-prem. We want to have incredibly stable environment. So when you have when you have code executing, you're not worrying about if one solution is breaking on breaking another solution and vice versa. So it's really about kind of where the future is. I mean that everybody's following. See, it looks
that's
like
exactly
we have
right.
another question on as a thoughts on this is from Trevor, and this is where thoughts on when to use the new app dev model versus using server-side farm solutions in an on-prem environment. Well, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I think the same methodologies apply whether you're in Office 365 or on-prem. If you're looking for kind of maintenance tasks like timer-type jobs, full trust solutions definitely is still a way to go. If you're looking for more end-user type specific, and now end-user could be an administrator, like a site collection administrator. But anytime where you have like a user interface, that's where apps really shine. One thing that you will have to use full trust code for the time being, until we get the APIs, the client-side APIs all there, is if you're doing anything in the central admin, you're still going to be stuck using full trust code for the time being. But
yep,
I'm pretty sure we'll solve that hopefully sooner rather than later.
Sounds great.
So next question. This is from Nat. Can I do this on a SharePoint 2013 installation within my network, or is this limited to Office 365?
Yeah, if I can take this one, I just want to make sure that it's completely clear, because we are very enthusiastic about the cloud, and we think that it brings a lot of great things to the table. And so we have a tendency to go cloud, 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 which is the right thing, and we fully support. But it is in no ways leaving our on-prem installations behind. And so the cloud app model is fully supported in an on-prem environment. You can build solutions. You now have a wide range of places where you would host your own solutions. One of the things that we didn't talk about is a purely declarative solution can live just inside of SharePoint, or you can set up whatever kind of sandbox isolation you want for allowing your app services to run. So it is absolutely something that works across on-prem and in the cloud, which was one of our primary goals in making sure that we would carry people forward with the roadmap that we're headed down.
So another question that came up from Gosh is, can we make use of the SharePoint web parts in the external app? And actually, absolutely. So I can create SharePoint pages with my web parts, and I can declare existing out-of-the-box SharePoint web parts within those pages. The key thing is everything I'm going to be putting in there is all declarative. I won't be creating any assemblies or any compile code whatsoever. So if it's an out-of-the-box SharePoint web part, let's say like a list view web part, that you want to leverage and create a custom ASPX page, you can actually associate that with an app. Next question is from Panagidus. And what is the best way to build solutions for SharePoint, ASP.NET, MVC, or what? In all honesty, it's whatever, however you choose. And I'm personally, I'm an MVC person. This this demo that I showed you here is mostly MVC. I took a couple shortcuts just to make sure certain things are working. But as you can see, it's there was definitely a separation of concerns there. But if you're more comfortable just doing ASP.NET forms, go ahead and do it.
Yep.
If you're comfortable with MVV, the model view view model pattern, go ahead and do it. Whatever you choose, whatever works best for you, both not only from a development paradigm for like how you actually architect your application to the languages that you use and the platform that you want to use, use whatever works because it is loosely coupled. As long as that platform supports making REST calls and can somehow support doing OAuth and authentication with your solution, you can definitely go ahead and do that. And I strongly suggest do what works best for you. I know that with SharePoint web parts and that in the past, MVC really was impossible. I kind of jumped up and down like a little schoolgirl when I found out that I can actually do MVP. I was pretty happy about that. So I thought it was very, I think it's very, very cool that you can definitely use the best practices and all those great frameworks and community type components that are out there and be able to leverage them within your SharePoint environment without having to create a SharePoint-specific type of community component. So the next question is from Mike Park. Is the help desk demo in the SharePoint data stored in SharePoint lists versus SharePoint? So this is actually an interesting question because this kind of dates back to my time with when I was in Microsoft Consulting Services. And the very first SharePoint app, I should say, SharePoint solution that I wrote was, I didn't do it the right way. I got yelled at by another SharePoint architect because I didn't use a SharePoint list.
But SharePoint architects are always very gentle with their feedback.
Oh, always very, very gentle. But it was my first SharePoint project, so I didn't really know any better because I was always an ASP.NET app developer. So I always built my always thought like SQL first. That's where you store data. What's this whole list thing? With that solution, he told me to use a SharePoint list. Well, I will say this: in this new app model, use a list where it makes sense. For you know, being able to have that data available, data that's you know, easily indexable from search. So when it makes sense, use a list. But if your data is highly relational, SharePoint lists don't really do that very well when you have really highly relational data, or when you have large sums of data, you're going to be querying data and creating highly transactional type of processes. So use SQL Azure, use SQL Server 2012. Use the right platform for storing your data. In fact, in the case of Access, it's not even using SharePoint lists anymore in Access 2013. It's storing the data in SQL Server or SQL Azure itself. So another question is, how can we move existing applications to the cloud? So I'm going to take this in the context of SharePoint for SharePoint solutions. Today, most solutions that I've seen done are really about full trust code, and they're really tightly wound. They're kind of, I guess you say, like tightly coupled and tightly oriented. And one of the things that about that is that it requires you to, kind of be stuck in that server-side object model. So when you're thinking about moving to the app, which is loosely coupled, you've got really one of two options, as Rob had kind of mentioned a little bit earlier. You can take a cost-effective approach, which means you're going to rewrite it all at one time, which for a lot of full trust solutions out there is maybe kind of a scary, kind of like, oh my God, I got to make all these changes. What am I going to do? But what you can do is you can take more of an iterative approach. There's nothing stopping you from using a lot of the methodologies that the app model has within your full trust solutions. You can use a client-side object model within your full trust solutions. You can use JavaScript with it. You can start loosely coupling, start using services, so as opposed to your web part just talking directly to SharePoint. You could, if you wanted to, you could create a REST endpoint that mimics the 2013 app model kind of URI schema. So when you actually migrate your solution to an app, you can take that logic and effectively copy and paste it, just add a couple of lines to deal with the authentication, and you're good to go. You just have to rewrite the view portion of your solution with that user experiences, because that, of course, would be a little bit different because you won't be using SharePoint components directly. So there are definitely ways that you can actually do this.
Yeah, I'll jump on a question, yep. See if you can wake up your laptop. How do you know when to scale out auto-hosted into other provider-hosted options? And the answer to this actually depends a lot more on your app and the characteristics about the back end of your app than it does on SharePoint per se, because the answer to this will really be about how much horsepower do you need to run your app, what kind of services are you delivering, what kind of manageability do you want to see around it. And again, if you run an auto-hosted app, then it's sort of opaque. We just stick it up into this multi-tenant environment in Azure and run it for you. But if you really need to get in there and see what are the resources it's consuming to debug it, connect to it natively, then that's where you'd want to switch over into using a provider-hosted app. And so that's the framework within which to think about it, is how do you want to manage your services on the back end?
Another question that has just come up is, can you give an example of an app that uses workflow? For example, an app is hosted in Azure and with an on-premise SharePoint. Is that even possible? Well, yes, it's technically possible. There are ways, you do have a few challenges when you're dealing with anything from the cloud that's going to try to communicate back into on-prem, but it's not unique to this app model or to SharePoint or Really, it's just kind of a general thing. Like, how do you deal with not poking a hole, but how do you deal with coming back into the firewall? So that is just kind of with any type of common solution when you have a cloud-based service solution. It's like, how do you handle that? Reverse proxy is an option. The service bus is another option. There's options for you to be able to leverage in doing that. But in the case of like the help desk app, I could very easily have workflow manager be stored in Windows Azure and use the workflow manager there, and have it go ahead and communicate back and either use them via like a reverse proxy or the case of the service bus to actually communicate back with within SharePoint itself. Authentication is you would have to do server-to-server certificates. So both the Windows Azure server and your on-premise server would have a certificate, and that's how they would actually trust each other.
I think we're running short on time, but maybe we could wrap up with Gaurav's question.
Yes. So the question is, hello, Keenan and Robert. Oh, hello. Great session and demos. Will you be making the code samples available for download? It would be great for learning perspective if we could look at the detailed code. Thanks again. Absolutely. So this help desk code, and there's actually there's an LMS app that will be coming out as well as a few others. Mm-hmm. We'll be putting them on, I think it's code.msdn.com. Mm-hmm. Code gallery, so we'll have that and or other snippets of the code as we continue on. This whole reimagine spdev.com thing is not it's just not like we're just going to do this little bit of effort and that's it. I'm personally telling you that this is going to be a 3 to 4 year effort of making sure that we're getting new content out to you, new demos, new samples, so that way you can learn the best type of ways of creating new solutions for the cloud app model, for not just for apps for SharePoint, but also for apps for Office as well. Because we know that there's a lot involved there. So, if you want, real quick, just to point out, if you want more answers, go ahead and check the demand pages as well. So, with that. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. This is the first of one of many series for Reimagine SharePoint development. Join us at reimaginespdev.com, where you can find all the latest content, videos. We'll have white papers, technical articles, code samples on there. We're even having blogs from MVPs that are thought leaders in this space. So we'll have like real world kind of input on what this is, because we're basically all in it together and thinking about this new cloud app model. So with that, I'd like to thank Rob for joining us.
Thank you, Keenan.
And I'd like to thank everybody else for joining us, and hopefully everybody has a great day, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks very much.